All right, so at the end of the podcast, like we always try to say whenever we have a guest on there, we have a cool interview with Riley Green. So stick around whenever you hear this.
This was the podcast, but now it's over.
It's only mostly over. So we'll have the interview right after that. Big D, you ready?
I'm ready.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Bubba, he hit you.
You knew that was going to be the one this week. I mean, ever since we first debuted that on the show. We'll talk about that gold in a moment. As we start the podcast, it's sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And for those of you who like to watch along, you know, there's some people who actually listen to the podcast more than once. Some actually watch it when we do the live stream on Facebook, and then they come back and listen to this audio version. Well, sadly, ever since we updated to iOS 13 on our Apple iPhones, it has been disabled. The streaming thing that we use to plug in our phones and all that. So they're trying to fix that. And as soon as they do, we'll be able to stream again.
I wish you could go back to like the old...
Yes. Yes, if you could say, I don't like this update, revert.
Yeah.
And you just hit the revert button. Nope. And then everything goes, and it's back to
I'm
where
sure
it was.
There's a way to do it, but we're just not nerdy enough.
I am nerdy enough. I just don't feel like going through the risk of whatever I would lose. You know, there's always stuff you lose whenever you do any reverting.
You ever thought about getting off of iPhone?
Yeah, but I have way too many apps that I paid real money for.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big argument in the beginning was, you know, well, I paid too much for the music. Remember, because our iPhones were basically glorified iPods in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, we don't own music anymore. We stream music. So we got to the point where, you know, I don't even keep music on my phone except for a couple playlists that I download just for like sleeping on airplanes and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's really about it.
I mean, so it's come down to it's the apps is what's keeping you from making the jump. And I don't know. Everyone says that Androids are better, but I don't know.
You know who says that? Android people.
Yeah.
And there, you're going, well, there's a reason they're Android people. No, it's not. Because here's the thing. Both Android and Apple have stolen everything from Palm. Palm WebOS was the stuff. And by stuff, I mean the poop. That was the best operating system ever. When everything all came out at once, Palm was the absolute sweetest. And as soon as Palm went out of business because they didn't have the marketing and everything of Google and Apple behind them, I mean, it was a little tiny player. They just couldn't catch up. And then by the time they were bought by HP, the HP CEO got into a Me Too scandal. And it was killed at that point. And they were like, we can't, we've got to worry about cleaning up after this Me Too thing. So they never got around to fixing the phones. At that point, it was like, okay, we have two players. It's like politics. It's so hard to be that third party and break in when everybody's already picked a side.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. So now there's a small open source community for WebOS. I know we're nerding out on you here, but there are some people actually still using those phones from 10 years ago.
Yeah, and there's also a small group of people who jailbreak their iPhones
and make them do stuff.
And do things that, you know, Androids already
basically
do.
All the things I like about my iPhone are the things they stole from Palm in the years ensuing after Palm going out.
I like the new iOS 13. It's just that, the thing it's screwing
up. There's a couple
up
clunky
with.
Things, you know, like whenever you're trying to save photos and all that, like they moved a couple of the little doodads around. That's a technical term, by the way, doodad. And they moved, like, you know, where you save things, and it's a little different. And I don't want to scroll. I hate touches. Like, if you have – this is a total thing. Next time you're doing anything on whatever apps you use, touch your phone, unlock it. That's one touch. go to the app or scroll, that's another touch. Go to whatever. Everything should be able to be done within three touches. And if you have to go to 7, 8, 10 touches to do something on your phone, then it's too much. I'm too lazy. I have stuff to do. I have a life to live.
Yeah, I hate getting, like my buds will send me some sort of a funny picture or something like that. And I hate it when they just screenshot it and it has the picture and then the black bars on the top and bottom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, man.
Yeah, trim your photo.
Trim your stuff.
That's right. I mean, it's all about the trimming. If you want to make it look right, you got to trim it.
Am I a bad person? Because I trim it and send it back.
Do you?
I do.
Oh, that's great. You know what I hate is whenever people send you video, they're like, oh, man, this is the funniest thing ever. And what they'll do instead of sending you the video, they'll send you a screenshot that looks like the video thing where you hit the play.
Yeah.
And it and
keep you, hitting it.
Yeah, it makes me feel dumb because I'm like, I was too lazy because I don't want to go through all the touches to look and see if that's actually a video.
Some of the stuff is really kind of it's intuitive. And we have all kind of learned how to adapt to things. Because, you mean, like iPhones, there's no instructions. You just have to kind of get in there and do it. And when the first ones came out, man, we were all lost geese.
Not me.
It was like, okay, what do we do? What's going on? And
not me. And I was born to have a phone in my hand. I know that's silly, but it's very natural, and it was ever since day one.
But, I mean, it was a completely different thing from Palm. I mean, it was not.
No, it was pretty close.
Okay, touching the screen on the Palm.
Yeah, I was. No. You're talking about the old handspring Trio. We're nerds today, man.
I'm saying.
The old handspring was like, it was touchscreen. Remember, you used to have to use the.
But you didn't have apps.
You did, but it was. They did, but it wasn't called apps.
The iPhone changed everything.
Like, look at your iPhone. You see all those icons? That's a Palm thing.
I know.
That's all
I,
that.
I know, but it's.
We'll shift gears.
Let's get off this.
So,
no one's listening to this anyway.
Big D sent me the best video this week. So this video was like basically this stepdad. It was a horrible person, and he punched the mother in front of her two children. And it's terrible. Well, the son steps up and just clocks the stepdad, knocks him out. One punch, the dad hits the ground, and because he was knocked out before he hit the ground, his head hit the concrete. I mean, it's like boom, pop, ping, and like you know his ears are ringing for the next like 6 months.
Like a pumpkin.
It was awesome. Seeing that son just, you know, get a little revenge for the son, for the mom. But like, it's like this total great, awesome country family. And the girl, like, why would she say that? The girl, a teenage-ish girl, goes, like, after the dad hits the mom, she says, "Mama, he hit you." Like, why would, yes, obviously.
I think the mom was like, "Why did you do that?" And I think that's the reason.
Why would you say, "Mama, he hit you"?
I just told you, because I think the mom was like.
I didn't get that from the video.
Well, they didn't show it. So, I mean, that's the point. The camera was on the guy.
Like, you think the mom said, what just happened?
Some people, man, they get hit and they're still like defending them, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like Stockholm syndrome, yeah. where somebody, yeah. like you take the side of your captors.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. But the thing is, they replay it in slow motion and everything, the sound is all slowed down, and her going, "Mama, he hit you."
"Mama, he hit you."
Sounds like that slowed down. And it is great.
I don't know why. It's so funny to me.
That's great.
Because we know people who talk like that anyway.
"Mama, he hit you."
I love how "you" is two syllables. Y-O-U is "you."
"Mama, he hit you."
You. There's a W in it.
We're terrible people, aren't we? I mean, for finding that funny. And I know it's a terrible thing, first of all. You should not hit anybody. Domestic abuse is not a joke. However, this clip.
"Mama, he hit you."
brings happiness to my heart because I know that that dad is on the ground. That stepdad is on the ground.
Don't you hate having the world that we live in that you
to defend ourselves?
I hate it.
But yeah, you can't have an opinion unless you clarify your opinion on seven levels and in triplicate.
Who's the director who said that he started doing, he's not going to do comedies anymore because people, the woke generation won't allow it? I forget who it was.
I don't know who that is, but that's so true, man. Yeah, I mean, this woke generation is the dumbest generation ever. And I forgot who said it, but this is the truth. We have an entire generation. South Park has been on the air for 20 years. We have an entire generation raised on South Park. Basically, this show, and everybody has watched it, this show that makes fun of everyone in the name of comedy, and it's acceptable, I guess maybe because it's a cartoon, and it's easier to take whenever it's cartoon characters and not real actors that you're looking at. But we have a whole entire generation raised on South Park, but also offended by everything. How is that possible? Like you would think if they're raised by South Park or raised on South Park that they would think everything is funny and they would understand the humor in it.
Yeah.
But we are at a point where it's dangerous to be a comedian. Because here's the funny thing about comedy is you say the exact opposite thing that someone expects, and that's why they go, "Oh my God, you caught me off guard with that."
Yeah, it's just, I hate it. Everyone's offended, and it's been going on for a long time, and I don't want to get into it.
It's funny because the last time we took a vacation, Patrick was doing some of the best of stuff, and there was a clip from our show from like 2005 that he aired, and we were complaining about how everybody is getting offended. Like in 2005, we were just recognizing that the woke generation was starting to get woke. Yep. It was before they called themselves woke. And we were like, man, what is up with everybody? They're getting all weird, and they're starting to act like they don't get comedy anymore.
Do you watch a baseball game last night?
No, I didn't watch anything last night. Last night was my
anniversary.
My anniversary night.
Oh, so we went out and had dinner. To that. How was that?
It was fantastic.
What, Joe? You went to some kind of a...
Okay, so we went to a Spanish restaurant. Now you're going, oh, yeah, well, I know you love Mexican food. No. Spanish, like as in Spain. And it was phenomenal. It's a lot of tapas, you know, like appetizers.
Yeah. What'd you get?
Everything. We had these croquettes and...
what is a croquette?
Like it's a little... It looks kind of like...
Does ever hit the
like
ball?
Like a boudin
under?
Ball. Like, oh, you know, okay. It looks kind of like that, but it's got different stuff inside.
Is it fried?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they're so good. There was this place, and a big shout out to Steve and Amy, our friends in London. Whenever we were out there, they took us to the Spanish restaurant in London, and it was phenomenal. So we found this place here. And it's every bit as phenomenal. So
you've said phenomenal more times.
Well, I was
going to
say,
30 seconds.
I am a fan of Spanish food, and I didn't know it. And I'm also a fan of Peruvian food.
Cuban?
Maybe it is Peruvian food. Hold on.
What's the difference in Peru? Well, I guess it's Peru.
It's a total different continent.
Yeah, I got you. It took me a second. You mean Cuba? No.
One is Cuba. One's Peru. Is...
sure that similar.
It is Peruvian food. This place that I went to the other day, it was called Panca or whatever, and it was amazing. Like, I would say phenomenal, but you'll call me out on it.
Yeah, you've used them all up.
It's I've used up the week's
So you got the top of the
So we had that. The Spanish food is nothing like Mexican food, so don't get them confused. It's very different. It's much more like French food than Mexican, and it was just really, really good. They had
a lot of rice.
No. Like I said, it was all appetizers. So you had. I don't even know how to say it. I mean, it was just like we had like meat and cheese and things like charcuterie type boards.
Oh, wow.
And it was great, man.
That's not what I would expect.
Yeah. And Estrella beer. So you have the Spanish beer. You got the whole thing going. It's nice.
Is the meat, is it like lamb? They have a lot of land.
No, we had beef. We had, like, there were mushrooms mixed in with all this stuff. And then there was, like, bacon-wrapped figs, which were amazing. They do their cheesecakes different. Like, the texture is different. It's just a different twist on stuff that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
Just done a totally different way because it's a totally different culture. And that's just the way they cook their stuff. Everything was nice, though. And if you ever get a chance to go to a Spanish restaurant, I highly recommend it. And the same thing, I'm going to say it again, about Peruvian food. That was fantastic as well. So both of those are good choices.
Yeah, what's that place we're in? Key West, we went to that Cuban place.
El Siboney?
Was that what the name of it?
I think the El Siboney is the name of the... God, man,
so
it's funny that I came up with that fast.
That's involved. That's weird.
Dude, it is El Siboney, Key West. Boom, baby. Like, how can I remember that?
I don't know. But I mean, you can't remember other words besides phenomenal. Yeah, that place was great. Remember when we went there? It was like in the middle of the night. It was like, I remember like 10 o'clock or something.
Yeah, it was pretty late. We were like some of the last customers in, and it looked like a house, and they were not happy with us showing up. They're like, oh, man, because they saw how fat we were.
We'll be cooking for hours.
So they were thinking, they're going, we're going to be stuck here, and we're not going to be able to leave. But we did good.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of, like Cuban, you have the paella and all that kind of stuff. And
what is that?
You know, just all the rice dishes and all, but the plantains.
Are you trying to say paella?
Paella.
Where it's like all the seafood mixed in like a,
yeah, a little
like
bit
a
of that
stew
too.
Almost.
Yeah, they got that, and they got the rice stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just a different, again, Cuban food, very different from Mexican food. If somebody listening has not tried, don't think they're even close to one another because they're not.
God, I haven't had Mexican food in forever. Well, no, I made.
I eat Mexican food at least 8 times a week.
I made chicken and steak fajitas the other night, and I changed the way I did it because I was cooking a lot of it, and it just wasn't the same. It took forever, and it turned out kind of mushy almost. And I was like, man, I screwed it up.
What was mushy? The steak?
No, the peppers and onions got weren't mushy. That's the wrong thing.
But you cooked them down too much?
Too much. Yeah. It didn't have enough integrity. There wasn't enough tactile feedback.
It wasn't phenomenal.
It was not. It was good. The taste was all right. It was a little spicy for me, but it was good. But
somebody asked me what kind of spices I like. I'm like, all spices.
Like all spice?
I do. All spice. I like the all spark more, though.
Since I started getting into smoking and stuff, smoking meats and stuff, every video I watch, I'm like, oh, well, I got to order that. Why, of course I need. That's what he uses. So like, I have all this stuff that I don't need now, and I'm just like, and it's not great. Salt and pepper goes a long way. Salt, pepper, you're set.
Yeah, it's like... I've been like in a real weird mood. Like I've wanted, biscuits and white gravy lately a lot. Biscuits and gravy, like your mom and dad make, you know, kind of stuff.
Oh, the gravy with the sausage pieces in it?
Yes. I've been like on a kick with that. I need that in my life. Like,
dude, that's
and I haven't been able to make it.
What's the name of that place?
Holler and Dash?
No. Mine just went blank. Baton Rouge.
Dad's house?
No.
I mean, that's like my
the
parents'
breakfast
make...
place over by old
I'm
Cortana
the worst.
Mall.
I'm the worst at that.
I'm gonna
remember
say
that because I'll go there this weekend.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think it is Fred's.
No, I'm thinking Fred's Frank's. On the river. Frank's. Yeah. Frank's.
Yeah,
so good.
Good stuff. So we're actually going to be doing the Baton Rouge thing this weekend.
So you're taking
Sophia?
Yeah, to the game?
Yeah. So she's never been to an American football game other than high school. So we're like, okay, we're going to do a little...
Aren't you? Yeah. Jumping in the deep end.
Yes, we are. Well, the bad thing is it was one of those games they moved to earlier.
I hate that. And 11 a.m. games.
11 a.m. games
Death
suck.
Death Valley's the worst.
Because you can't tailgate, like,
sucks.
You know.
I mean, listen, they're all going to be tore up. But
especially, I mean, now that they have the beer in the stadium, yeah, and all that.
But it's just not the same.
It's not.
It's just not.
The, you know, night games where you just have been out hanging out, eating and drinking all day.
Yeah, plus you get great. That sun right on you, and you just sit there and just sweat.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to get any cooler. Baton Rouge temps are still going to be in the 90s, yeah, like mid-90s, until Monday, and then it gets down to the 80s. But this was...
Thank you, weatherman. Well, you know, on Tuesday it'll be this. What is our chance of rain, Big D?
No chance of rain here, but... Yeah. Well, we'll get some rain maybe this weekend. Yeah, that'd be good, man. She's going to love that. She's going to get some Cajun food, some...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, so I think we're gonna do.
Where are you gonna go?
I think we're doing New Orleans on breakfast, and then hustling over to the stadium. I don't know. We're still trying to figure out.
You're pushing it, man.
Yeah, we're gonna try to put as much in as possible on one crazy little.
So, what's your go-to for New Orleans breakfast?
Man. That's where you gotta go and do the tourist thing, and you gotta
two go. Sisters,
I know,
or whatever.
No. If I'm gonna do breakfast with somebody who has never been to New Orleans, then you've got to go to Cafe Du Monde.
Oh,
and do, I know.
It's so lame.
It is lame, but it's the tourist thing, and that's what you have to do. You have to go,
I mean, man,
and then walk around
the
Jackson
first
Square,
dude. And, even the first time I went as a tourist, I thought it was lame. I was like, okay, this because they're not great.
No.
They're just not.
No, they, well,
they're not. Krispy Kreme is better.
Good. No, beignets are
Krispy Kreme donuts are better.
Beignets are greater
no,
than donuts.
You're insane. They're,
well, I think it's because this is what I grew up on, though.
Well, I also think that it gets really hyped up. If you just go, oh, this is a place over here, see what you think about it. You'd be like, oh, these are great. Look, I pulled up New Orleans breakfast spots. First place,
Cafe Du Monde. Which one? The one French Market one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
French Quarter. Cafe Du Monde, iconic as New Orleans.
Iconic. Well, dude, it's been open since before the Civil War. 24/7, 365.
What I hate about it though is when you like if you have to go over there at night and you got to walk across the square there, where all the fortune tellers and
Jackson Square.
God, that's such a dark, creepy place, man.
I love it.
Oh, it gives me the heebies, man.
Really?
I
would much rather be there at 4 a.m. than in the Marigny at 4 a.m.
So, like, there's
that's
different
where
places,
I feel
man.
Like I'm gonna get shot.
You wanna really like Satsuma? It's a
I know, but I'm just telling you right now. Stacy has already been like, oh, we're going. Man. It's gonna be so. You know, I can't win. Once that seed has been planted and it's turned into an actual event tree, it's gonna happen.
Take her to Clover Grill.
Clover Grill. They got the best burgers and the grease dripping off the walls. And like there's little flies that have flown in and landed thinking, oh, I'm gonna land here for a moment. No, they get stuck.
Like dinosaurs. Amber.
Yes. It looks like they're gonna find those things in 2 million years and they're gonna go, oh, look at this. It's a fly.
It's so gross.
Let's turn it into an animal and see what it's got.
There's all kinds of new places, man. All kinds of them, man.
There's a place. It's oh my gosh, what is that restaurant? Oh my gosh, I gotta look now.
It's in New Orleans?
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now, you gotta go here.
Are you doing so? You're against a lot of
Shaya, whatever it is on Magazine Street. It's a like Jewish Middle Eastern place, and they have the most amazing food.
Jewish,
I would tell you,
Middle Eastern.
Well, it's like Israeli cuisine. But it's like a twist of all the things from the region, and they've kind of put it together. Shaya, I forget how you pronounce it. But they got all like the baba ganoush and things like that. That'll just be like, what?
So what do you –
And the pita bread. They do like – they have this big oven in the middle, and they do like – the pita bread comes out. It's like this big and huge and puffy and – ugh.
So you'll watch the game, and then you – and then you
I don't know.
Are
they
going
were just
to
visiting
eat.
Family and friends and all that kind of stuff. and just being like, okay, here we go. And we're going to do a lot of shopping because that's what they want to do. And we boys are outnumbered.
Where are you going to go shopping at?
I don't know.
Mall of Louisiana.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know. We're probably do Hey Penelope and go see our friends there. And I don't know. I have no idea. It's girl stuff. It's a girl weekend. Frankie and I are just along for the ride.
You going to Sammy's?
Maybe.
Get some cheese logs?
Maybe. Sammy's walk-ons. I don't know. We'll probably fit it all in some kind of way.
TJ Ribs. Get those potatoes.
Yeah.
I like the potatoes better than anything there.
This is like, we should be
like tour guides.
Yeah. Tourism board needs to sponsor us. Riley, you guys are great, but.
My favorite is when people are like, hey, I'm going to be in Baton Rouge. Where should I go eat? And locals go, have you ever been to Jay Alexander's?
I told you they did that. So the Stop. First time, oh no, you and I, it was the first time you and I were in New York City together.
Oh,
we
yes.
go to these cops. We're like, hey, we're looking for someplace local, yes. like local, 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 where only the locals go. What is the best place that you would suggest? Oh, well, I got the TGI Fridays right there. It's about as New York as you get. I'm like, what?
We got a great Italian place. It's called
Domino's Pizza.
I'm trying to think of the Italian place. What's the place that give you free bread?
No, all of them.
Olive Garden. That's it. You're close.
Oh, yeah. Got this. It's just like being at Mama's house.
Just go to call Ruff and go to Ruffino's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which formerly Donardo's.
Like 18 billion years ago.
I used to drive by it every day and be like, dude, Coach has his own restaurant. I didn't know how that worked. I thought he had his own restaurant. I didn't realize it was like his name. That did not work. You get her some Canes.
Yeah, we're doing that for sure.
Should be fun, man. It'd be a good weekend.
Yeah,
it's kind of the lull before the storm of SEC football.
Yeah,
because I think after that is Florida. It's like.
It's going to be nonstop. Yeah, so it's no disrespect to Utah State, none whatsoever, because I love me some Utah, you know that. But it's not even going to be close.
Utah State is not bad. I think they're 3-1.
It's just different. It's a different kind of football.
It's a different kind of thing. They're in a really hostile environment. You're playing.
The heat. And I know people going, oh, yeah, but no, it's different.
It's humid the heat, humidity.
Humid heat will just eat you up.
Plus, man, listen, most teams can stay with anybody. Like, look at North Carolina and Clemson last week.
Yeah.
But what happens is you may stay with them for the first quarter, two quarters. But, man, after a while, man, the athletes just out-athlete you.
They wear you down.
They do, man.
Wear you down on both offense and defense, and eventually, like, the fourth quarter is when everything kind of opens up.
Yeah.
You see it with all your big teams. It just
every weekend.
Yep.
You're like, how many times are you and I texting each other going, dude,
so-and-so's
Cincinnati.
About to beat
so-and-so. Cincinnati about to shock the world.
This is crazy. Look at San Diego State.
It's 3-0.
Yeah. And fourth quarter happens.
And it's 49-3. So, yeah, it is. But you get Auburn, Florida. It's going to be that's a 2:30 game. It's a good one. After that, it's just kind of. I mean, Texas, West Virginia, Georgia, what? Tennessee. No, West Virginia's going to get slammed. Notre Dame, once again, proving that they deserve their rankings throughout the years, playing powerful Bowling Green Falcons. Way to go, Notre Dame, 3-1. Cal, Oregon will be a good game, too.
You just made fun of Bowling Green, dude. You have had coffee on campus, dude, and you made.
Remember,
fun.
I was like, "Yeah, where's the Starbucks?" And like, it's like in. We had to, remember, we had to like go.
We had to go into like the student center.
I had to become a student. I had to pay enroll. Tuition. I enrolled to go get. I was like down this hallway, up these stairs, and you get
go past
there.
The library.
And I'm like, oh, okay, this is like inside. Like it's in on campus. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's inside a building on campus. Okay, gotcha. And it was close.
Man.
But got me a hat, though.
You did. I got one, too.
Got me a Bowling Green hat. and they got a nice. They were updating their field at the time, if I recall.
I don't remember.
They got a pretty nice. Some of these smaller schools, you get shocked by how good they look. It used to be like only your big, Power Five programs had, turf or had like really good stuff, but now it's.
You know what I'm glad of?
Everyone does.
I am so glad that we got rid of, everybody copying the different color fields and all that kind of stuff.
The Smurf turf. I mean,
it's okay if you're grandfathered in.
Yeah.
But it was going to get out of hand, and you could just feel it. You could feel everybody going,
all the weird designs.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine? Like, you see it on basketball courts.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Now you have all the basketball courts, and we've got trees. We've got stripes. We've got this. We've got polka dots. I mean, could you imagine a football field with polka dots? Somebody would have done it.
It's hard for me to watch a Boise State game at home. It's too much blue. The Smurf turf gets me. I'm like, ugh, enough. And then they wear blue. And then I get it as an advantage because they blend in. But, man.
It just kind of throws the competitors off because they're not used to seeing that.
It's hard. Yeah, you can't. Your eyes, it's hard to pick out the blues and stuff. Anyway.
It messes with me, man. But I don't have a problem watching it. I'm just saying it messes with me.
Well, all right. So we got Riley Green.
Yep.
Coming up, and a great interview. He's so great, so talented. So that's coming up now on the podcast. And man, enjoy your weekend with the crew. Yeah. She's going to get her. It's too bad it's not crawfish.
Yeah. Sophia is going to get a little taste of what it's like to be a coon ass for a little while. And if you go, wait, what? What did he just say? It's a Cajun thing. If you're offended by it, then you're not one of us. That's all I got to say.
You can say it if you are one.
I can. I can totally say it. I am one, and it's all good. So,
he's all one.
All right.
Just 100%.
Y'all ready?
200%.
You ready? I'm 300%.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Hey, Riley Green joining us in the studio. Always good to see him. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are y'all?
Wonderful. Are you a duck hunter?
I am.
You have a hat that has a duck on it. I'll bring it up.
Yeah, that was my. You know, my Instagram's Riley Duckman.
Oh, that's right.
Which a lot of people think is my last name because of that. But
oh, really?
Yeah. And they
wouldn't that be a great last name?
It would be.
How old are you? How old did your grandpa stick you hunting?
My family wasn't really into hunting. I just tried it. Decided I liked it.
You started like in high school?
Yeah. I got really into duck hunting when I was in high school, and it was one of those things where we'd like go and walk through a swamp for 4 miles and maybe see a duck. And then down the road, I got to go to some nice places in Arkansas and Mississippi where there actually are a lot of ducks. So I got pretty eat up with it there for a few years.
Yeah. So is duck still your thing, or have you branched out?
It goes back and forth. I hate turkeys. Like, during turkey season, I just ride around and just look at fields and just like mumble under my breath like I hate them. So. That's probably my most passionate one, but I'm a big bow hunter now, so I try to do some of that too.
You turkey hunt with a bow? That's a really tough shot.
I always say I kill turkeys any way I can.
Truck.
Yeah, any way I can kill a turkey, I'll do it. Because they won for the first about 5 years that I turkey hunted. They outsmarted me. So
the last time you came in, you left, and I remember for weeks, I would listen to parts of the interview, and I'd be like, I've got to figure out who Riley is.
Who is he? Like a
who is Riley?
Witness protection program?
No, he sounds your speaking voice.
Oh, who I sound like?
It sounds like someone.
You really do sound exactly like somebody, and I can't.
You have my phone up, Patrick Bubba?
Yeah.
I got my volume up. I finally figured it out.
You figured it out? Okay, I'm ready.
I figured it out today when I heard you in the green room.
I've never heard this before either. I've never heard anybody say I sound like
you. Hey, put your headphones on. You want to hear this.
I do want to hear it.
Now, when I'm about to play, everyone, Bubba, you, Patrick, and I think hopefully Riley will too, agree that this is exactly who your vocal speaking
I'm like
voice
nervous.
Is of.
A cup to pass the time. Swapping rodeo stories with this old kid.
I'll take that. My dad was riding with me the other day in my car, and I played this song, and he said,
Cowboys
I've never heard that.
He's what?
Yeah.
And he was a country fan?
My dad was like, I'm going to say country. He was like Southern rock. Okay. He was like the band.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
the countryest thing that I listened to with him growing up was I used to do John Anderson just swinging all the time. That was like he had an A-track. He'd play that.
Yeah.
But then it was like Peter Frampton, Do You Feel Like We Do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Steve Miller Band.
Eric Clapton. He's a big Eric Clapton guy. So.
And that's all great stuff. But when you get into – like that's always when I can tell if someone's like kind of legit country if you know at least two Ledoux songs. Or if I just say Ledoux.
Even if you know one, nowadays at this point, I mean, most people, most of the newer country audience has no clue about Ledoux.
Look, man, you're telling me, I would think of what I thought was going to be the biggest cover ever. You know, like, oh, man, this is just going to crush and go out there and play it. And these kids are just like,
Yeah, I think until you whip out Copenhagen, what a wild flavor!
That was one of the coolest things I ever heard. Somebody told me one time, I can't remember who it was, that I sounded like a young Robert Earl Keen, and that was one of the coolest compliments I ever got.
Wow.
That might be up there with it.
Kind of an unusual, kind of take you behind the scenes a little bit of how this industry works. It's a slow-moving industry with the record labels. It can be, anyway. And so kind of when they kind of say, okay, we are pointing the target as this, as a song that we're really going to push, it's hard to change that.
And sometimes, I mean, they'll develop these songs and work these songs to get up on the charts for months. I say sometimes all the time. But sometimes they'll work it for almost a year to get these songs big enough to where everybody knows it.
Yeah.
So you had a song that was a single, and then did it change because of this other song?
My second single was a song called In Love By Now. And you know, it's always explained to me how all this stuff works. I'm still pretty new to it, but there was just a lot of songs out, a lot of artists, a lot of new songs. So, you know, it was kind of hanging around. It was slowly moving up the chart, and I had written a song called I Wish Grandpa's Never Died. I wrote it about my two granddaddies. My granddaddy Lennon passed away this year, and I just kind of, in dealing with that, wrote the song, by myself, not really with any plans of anything coming from it. And I played it at some shows. Somebody videoed it, you know how it is now, put it on YouTube, video got a million or something views in a couple of weeks.
Oh my gosh.
So I went to the label and I was like, hey, you know, like there's a song, people are singing it at shows. And I mean, I don't know what we need to do with it. I think we need to record it.
But at that point, your album is done.
My album is done. Yeah.
So they're like, nah, I mean, no.
So like they've already got the artwork and everything too, probably in the works.
Probably so. Yeah. And I mean, the thing about that is when you start talking about a song, you know, that's a single, you got an album that's, you know, I mean, I don't know how they even do all that stuff, but yeah, it takes a long time to get all that set up. So for them to go and say, hey, let's go get in the studio. First off, find some time. We put it out. Within 2 weeks of us putting it out, we end up swapping singles for radio. And it was a big push of, you know, fans running to the song, the fans' reaction to the song, and then radio saying, we want to play this song, you know. Yeah. And I mean, I've been spoiled because the song was on the charts before ad date, you know. I mean, it was
that's crazy,
yeah,
it's
nuts.
It really is. It's a super unusual story, and you know, when you have a song, it's very rare you find a song like that where that just kind of it just hits people,
it has
man.
A life of its own and just grabs you.
To have a song that people, feel something from writing is always a goal of mine. If I can write something, make somebody feel a certain way, and that song meant something to me, and it's really cool to see it mean something to somebody else, but even more so to write a song and play it, and people go, that's a good song, so I don't have to sit here and decide what the next single should be or, you know, what's a better song for me. It was really the fans kind of running towards the song.
Did I hear, understand that you gave them writing credits?
Yeah, I did. My granddaddy Buford, who was probably the reason I got into country music or music in general, died in 2010. And he was really into not necessarily songwriting, but just poems. And he was real witty, was always coming up with stuff. When I'd go to his house, we'd have poem writing competitions. You know, so I think he would have really loved to have been a songwriter. I think he could have done
it.
I think I got a lot of my maybe wittiness from him.
I was going to say, that's just challenging you and making your brain think that way.
Yeah, it was, you know, I didn't realize as a kid, but when I'd go over there, he would make me and my cousins have handshaking competitions. Like we'd go up and we had to, like, practice. We'd do drawing contests, and Grandmother Jean was always the judge, you know, and, like, the youngest cousin always won because he cried the most. And I just didn't realize that my granddad Buford was always pushing us like that, you know. And my granddad Lennon, like I said, passed away this year. And I just thought, man, I don't think I could have written a song without things I've learned from them.
Yeah.
But then also, what cooler way to you know, have their name on something that's going to be around forever, and especially on a song called "I Wish Grandpa's Never Died." You know, I thought that was really cool, and my publishing company was great enough to get that done for me, and that was a big deal to me.
It's available on the album now, right? It's on. They got it.
It's
on, the
on different around here, yes, sir.
How cool is that? To get that song at the last minute to get added to the album.
Did they stop the presses to do it? Or I mean, how
it was
deep
close.
Into the process?
I mean, it was crunch time. So we had the record done, scheduled to go
his
out.
His label person in the other room was going, yes, they stopped the
presses.
I don't know what
they were doing. I know that it was late. And it was, I mean, hats off to Big Machine for like I said, you know, taking this song and running with it and getting it on this record, because I don't think this record, we thought it was done, but I don't think it was without this song.
Wow.
Well, the album is out, Riley Green. It's called Different Round Here, and I Wish Grandpa's Never Died is definitely on there. That's great. This is going to be huge, and we're just sitting there talking about how that – Patrick said, I hope you enjoy singing that, because you'll be singing it for a long time. And you do, right?
I definitely do. It's there's a lot of those, like, fun songs, and Those Girls is definitely one of those. It's more up tempo, you know, people want to stand up and clap and sing along. But for the same reason I enjoy playing songs like In Color by Jamie Johnson, I've covered that song for years and years, and that feeling, that's kind of where my head goes as a writer a lot of the times, is that more balladish. And then the other side is it's a completely different dynamic to a show, you know, as we get this high energy show where everybody trying to keep them on their feet, chugging beers and raising beers in the air. And then I come back out with an acoustic guitar and sit on a stool and play a song that can, you know, maybe make a couple people cry in the crowd. Mm-hmm. That's a really neat thing for me. And you don't see it as much as you used to, but that's the George Jones kind of thing that I like, is that He Stopped Loving Her Today, that kind of song. I love that type of feel in the middle of a set. So I don't know if I'll get tired of playing this one.
It's emotional. It's those songs that I think are the big ones for artists are usually those. For me, like, you think about, you said Rand, Jamie Johnson. To me, I think that's one of the best written songs ever.
I agree.
Done. I think really? House That Built Me is one of the best written songs ever done. There are a few of those that all stand out. And to me, they're usually the slower songs. They're the kind of the ballads.
Like the Whiskey Lullabies and all that kind of stuff that just jumps out and grabs you.
I mean,
yeah. The ballad, you know, the party songs are great, but the ballads are what you connect the most with. I mean, like grandpas. Every one of us has grandpa. We all relate, and we all wish grandpas never died.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, you're sitting there singing that a moment ago here in the studio, and I'm just thinking about walking to the creek with my grandpa and fishing and, you know, stepping on a snake and him going, whatever, and he just grabs it, and I'm like, what? You just grabbed a snake.
One thing that I've been really, really surprised about, of course, you have people that in this song that come up and talk about this line, you know, the I wish old dogs, good dogs never got gray and old, you know, and somebody's got the, or whatever line it is in the song that, girls never gave back diamond rings, that kind of thing. But I've had people come to me that say, I never knew my granddaddy. And that song means so much to me because point of views that I never wrote the song from, people even relating to it that way. So that's always really cool to me, for people to take my story and a song I wrote so specifically, kind of just for myself, and it becomes something to somebody else.
Man, it's so good. And like I said, I'm so glad they got it on the album. The album is out now. It's called Different Round Here from Riley Green. Dude, it's good to see you again.
Good to see y'all. And always
congrats,
enjoy it.
Congrats on this last minute, I want to say Hail Mary, because it's you didn't need a Hail Mary, but wow, a step-up song that's like...
It wasn't a Hail Mary. It's like a two-minute drive down the field.
I mean, wow.
We're in a two-minute drill. We got to get this done, you know.
And you score with
7 seconds left.
Dude, you didn't have much time getting that on the album. Riley Green, everyone, get the album. It's called Different Round Here, and of course, I Wish Grandpa's Never Died. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it.